Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning.
How are you? I'm doing fantastic.
Well, it is one day past halfway of the month, the 16th of March, right?
Yep.
Right, intern?
Yeah, that is correct.
That's what he's paid for. He's the date guy. So how you doing, man?
I'm really doing great. Yeah, just doing awesome.
So you were sharing before when we were talking a little bit, you really feel like you're present, having a great day. Something special about today? The weather, the season?
You know, I don't want to be cliche. I was a lot of people say, you know, just great to be alive. It's just like, you know, just kind of get away from me with just that cliche stuff. But I just feel so full of energy today and just, you know, my agenda this day is actually kind of light. But it just feels like such a full day. It's just awesome.
Well, do you feel, I mean, you know, it's funny. I always use this this kind of this scenario where if I said, hey, Lynn, I'm going to give you a Corvette. And I came over and I, do you like Corvettes?
Yeah, they're awesome.
So I pulled up in your driveway, put the Corvette in your driveway, and I said, I'm giving you this free Corvette. And then I took the keys and I put them inside your garage and I filled the garage full of boxes. And I said, have fun. You have the Corvette, right? You have life, but you can't get to it because there's so many boxes covering the keys. So maybe on the boxes like self, maybe the gluttonous kind of stuff, the deadly sins that, you know, that we really struggle with in life. You know, how much of life, how much of happiness isn't, you know, because you hear people, I'm seeking, Jesus, excuse me. You hear people, I'm seeking this, I'm seeking that. It's like, maybe if we remove some of this other stuff out of our life, maybe happiness is already there. Maybe this is like one of those days you're not affected as much by the boxes and you're just enjoying the Corvette.
Yeah, it's a good word. You know, let me tell you what's so cool about my day. We live in Rehoboth, my wife and I, and the street in front of our house is all just junked up. Just needed to be redone. It just like had holes in it. It was like holes by our driveway, and it was like, it was just kind of a drag, but you know, so many things in life, you just let it be, whatever. So I said, now you really need to call someone, get that taken care of. And so she reached out to Del Dot. We got a call yesterday that they're going to come do the street.
It's like, nice.
I was like, are you kidding me? Just a little side street. So it's like such an awesome day. And it's like 7:07. And she wakes me up and like says, you got to move the cars. like, dude, I'll kind of just like, just wake it up. But we move the cars and there's like four dump trucks and like some pieces of equipment. There's like a crew of guys and it's like, they're like fixed in our street. So yeah. I said, like the day just got off to such a cool start because I was just like, this is like a wonderful day. Just fixing my street. Just
well, I love that. I love that example because, you know, I can spend my time focusing on the potholes, right? And I'm not paying attention to the other 98% of the road that's perfectly fine.
That's right.
And sometimes we get caught up in that kind of stuff. And, you know, we just did another podcast and, you know, the topic of COVID and just kind of everything that we've gone through. It's almost changed how we think about certain things. I know I'm speaking for me. It's changed how I think about certain things. And now as we go into this new sort of phase in our world where, you know, war and nuclear missiles kind of loom over us. It's like, I was watching TV last night. I'm like, are we going to go to have a nuclear war here? You know, I just was like, yeah. It's just one thing after another. And,
yeah. You know, what you're saying is so very true. You know, we've all heard, is your glass half filled or half empty?
Right.
We've all heard that. Now, are you optimist or are you pessimist? Half filled or half empty? And the fact of the matter is, our glasses are like 95% full.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like, really the question isn't, is your glass half filled or half empty? It's, is your glass 95% filled or 5% empty?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's again, it's an optimist or a pessimist, but at the end of the day, we got it pretty flipping good. I mean, you look at the people in Ukraine, they don't know if they're going to get blown up. You know, we got three meals a day. And my wife and I were praying this morning, give us our daily bread, you know, the Lord's Prayer. Dude, I don't have to pray about my daily bread. I got food for the next year. I mean, it's like, I don't, you know, we have it like so swayed back, you know. We just forget. We get caught up in the minutia, really do.
And that's kind of why we started the podcast off of the Corvette story. You know, life is the Corvette. You know, it's just what do we put in front of it that doesn't allow us to get to use it. And, you know, Corvette, I think we just can all kind of relate. But, you know, happiness, you know, peace, freedom.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to the Zac Brown song, Free. And it's just, you know, the reality is that we are free, and we are free to make so many choices. And for some reason, we tend to focus on that one pothole, right? Yeah. And I guess it's because it's just what's there, and I guess it's easy to have conversations about negative. Yeah. You know, I mean, we don't sit around and talk about how wonderful life is, right? It's always, oh, the war, or COVID, or the potholes, you know? And it's this, I don't know why, if it's just, we feel like it's embarrassing to talk about positive or good stuff.
Don't know.
I mean, you're a wellness coach, right? You're a life coach. Yeah. Well, I'm having a tough time. Help me.
Well, you know.
Help me, man. You know, I need some wellness.
Yeah. Well, you know, a little bit about myself. I am a life coach. I am a certified financial planner. But when we look at life coach, you know, it could be a really complicated discussion, truly. When we think about life, there's a lot of pieces to it. But at the end of the day, you know, it could be pretty simple. It really could be. Like, what's around your life that really matters to you? And you know, just focus on those things that really, really matter. You know, we were just talking, you know, just here we are doing this podcast. And, like, there's so much things that could be swimming around my head right now. I'm just totally right here right now, you know, and it's just a wonderful place to be. So, you know, I think we complicate our lives with things, quite frankly, that don't matter.
Absolutely. Well, we were just saying, you are where your feet are, and I love to be where my feet aren't. You know, I love to go into, you know, I always say, you know, you're safe right here. Yeah. You know, if you there's tons of sayings. You know, if you have one foot in tomorrow and one foot in yesterday, you're pissing all over the present, right?
Yeah.
So there's this, you know, and I'll talk to people. You know, people know that I'm involved with recovery, and sometimes I'll work with people that are early on, and I say, listen, stay right here. We're safe right here, right here, right now. We're not drinking. You know, we're not doing whatever it is we're here to fix. We're not doing it.
Yeah.
And but if we start to think about the present, we're like, well, I could maybe drink, or I could do something. Yeah. Not true.
Yeah.
Right here is what's important. Or we reflect in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of people that's, you know, they don't have anything going on. I remember early on when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And I would always tell you about what I wanted to do or what I used to do. But I really couldn't talk about what I was doing in the present because it wasn't really anything special. Yeah. Right. So getting sober or working on my life. And now I can sit here and I can at least talk about what's going on in my life in the present, because that's what I know is a fact.
Yeah.
Everything else I make up.
You know, I happen to also be a financial planner. And to tell you the truth, I get...
What about Bitcoin?
Well, Bitcoin, someone asked
Dempsey's
me about
it. All into it.
Someone asked me about it the other day. You know, if you're asking me about Bitcoin, you're talking to the wrong person. Because I'm a fiduciary, I have a legal obligation to act in people's best interest. And Bitcoin isn't something I could really advise people as in their best interest, because it's such an unknown. And I'm really the wrong person to ask. If you want to ask someone about Bitcoin, ask someone who's in the financial processing business, that they see how this is actually going to be used. You know, what's the technology opportunity, you know, where the money opportunity is. Because if you look at the financials, which is what I do, That don't make no sense. Well, so the point Bitcoin is, I'm the wrong person to ask.
Bitcoin's like kind of the opposite of what we were just talking about. It's not present, right? Yeah. It's what it might be one day, right?
Exactly.
Or what it used to be and where it's headed. Yeah. So it's all about...
And that's interesting. That's exactly the conversation that so many people have about money.
Yeah.
It's like, I had a stock, it was worth this much. I want to be worth that much, or I have a portfolio, I need to be worth this much, and, you know, or, you know, I'm taking that much out. And I'm like, whatever your account balance is, whether it's, you know, a few hundred or a few thousand or a few million dollars, whatever. I mean, that's what you have. I mean, how does that connect with who you are and your quality of life?
Right.
I mean, how does that relate to what's going on in your life? And when I do my I have seminars about financial planning, I start a program and I ask people, does it matter how much you have sitting in your account? Does it matter how much money you have sitting in your account? And I kind of let it sit there, and everyone's like, well, of course it does. And it's true, but does it really matter how much you have sitting in your account if it doesn't integrate with who you are? If it doesn't align with your life values and what you want out of life, does it really matter how much you have? And if it's disconnected with who you are as a person, I would say probably not.
Well, you must have a lot in your account, because I can tell you, when you don't have a lot in the account, it worry. There's a, you know, we worry.
That's true. If your essentials aren't met, you know, I grant that. Yeah, but I'm just saying. But the point is, there's so much focus on how much I have and all that, as opposed to living life in the present. Here I am. And if you don't have a lot of money, the point is, what do you need to do to get to a better place, or even live in the present? Like, how are you enjoying today with what you have? What if you didn't? What if your financial situation didn't improve? Then what? Your life's going to suck forever? You know, it doesn't have
Maybe.
To.
Maybe. It might. Well, you know, and you're also, there's a kind of a transition that happens in life, is that, you know, I went from this guy that loved to spend money. I didn't care. You know, I always had my parents that kind of, you know, when the shit hit the fan, they would bail me out. So I was never quite in complete fear. But as I got older, I'm like, but I'm not really doing much with my money. I wasn't, you know, and the other thing, I was also not making much money. And then this transition happened in my life through, you know, kind of focusing on getting on a track that might have some sort of retirement involved at the end. And then I started to care. And then I got a little bit so afraid of money that it almost kind of put me in a little bit of a prison. Like, I earned some money. I remember my buddy Matt, I'm like, you know, when I opened the salon, I'm like, I made $3,000. He goes, well, have you paid the rent, the electric? You know, I was like, well, no, I haven't paid all those. And he goes, well, you haven't made shit. And so, but I would start hoarding the money because I didn't used to make much money. And it started to make me freaked out. And then I was like, oh, I'm below 5,000. Oh, God, we're, you know, and so it's, money can be a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, money is a controlling part of our lives. It could be. If we let it, you know, it's funny. We hold on to our money, and our money holds on to us. So it could be, you know, it could be an issue. But I also should mention, I work primarily with retirees.
Yeah.
And retirees are in a different place with their money as opposed to people who are working to try to get to that place. You know, so they're a little more set financially usually.
Is there a market for helping people like, you know, 30s that are coming out of this youth, young, yeah, no care in the world, to someone that needs to at least start thinking about it?
Well, this is the deal. So, you know, what is the financial services industry all about? It's all about making money for people who are in the financial services industry, right? So, you know, where's the money? The money's with people who have money, right? You know, if I have two people to work with, someone who doesn't have any money or someone who has a lot of money, you know, guess who I want to work with? I want to work with the person who has a lot of money, right? So one of the problems with the financial services profession is that it's really geared toward helping people maybe who need the least help. But one thing that I do, I make myself available, whether people have money or don't have money, to get them to a better place. So folks that don't have a lot of money, yeah, I'm happy to steer them in the right direction, help them get to that place where they can accumulate wealth, help them to get to that place where they're living responsibly, they're stashing away some money, they're working towards something down the road. You know, you want to enjoy life, right? You don't want to not enjoy life, but you want to enjoy life, but in a sensible, moderate way. And, you know, one thing I say is...
Yeah, but how do we... I mean, if we don't start helping young people start saving money, you ain't going to have a bunch of old retirees with a lot of money to pick from.
Right. And that's what I'm saying.
You better figure out, you got to figure out your future.
Yeah. And that's the point. That's why I help folks who don't have a lot of money to get them on a better track.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Awesome.
We're on the same page.
I love it. So what is that? What is that like? Are we going to talk about money? Is that the road we're going down? Money?
I wasn't
I don't want to talk about money.
I wasn't planning on it.
Let's talk about something else. Yeah. Wellness coach. Now that I like.
Yeah. So, you know, let me talk a little bit about retirement. You know, I work a lot with retirees, and you have people moving to coastal Delaware by the truckloads. I mean, it's just crazy people moving in here. And why do they move here? Like, for a lot of reasons. I think too many people move here just because the taxes are lower. I think that's important, but I think for too many people, that's a driving force. You know, that, you know, they won't come here and they save property taxes. You know, people who live in neighboring states, you know, I'm originally from New Jersey, you know, taxes are like boatload expensive. You know, average taxes are $8,000, you know, but it's not uncommon for people to pay $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 for taxes. So they move here and it's like one tenth that. And so that's why a lot of people move here. But we started this DelawareRetiree.com website and resource to help connect people to the area. So it's not just, hey, I'm living here because it costs less. We want people to love living here. That's our tagline, love living here. So we try to connect folks with the resources that are available, let them know a little bit more about the area, different articles, have them have a little better appreciation for what the area is about. Mm-hmm. Try to connect with people who have their passions and interests, whether it's their pet owners, they love the outdoors, or they love their home, whatever it is. You know, people are got their own thing going. So we want to help people who are here or maybe thinking about here to recognize that this is a wonderful place to be, learn a little bit about the area, and integrate and get connected with the area. That's what we're about. And of course, finances help that, but you know, you don't need a lot of money. You don't need a lot of money to be happy and content. You don't need a lot of money. Just need to have the right perspective and have the right connections with people in your life, things that motivate you and things that you enjoy. It's really pretty simple.
What do you find some of the best ways to connect with this area are?
Well, you know, ultimately, our quality of life really revolves around people that we do life with, right? I mean, if we do the things that we enjoy the most with the people that we love the most, that is an integrated, that's a wonderful quality of life. So, you know, the best way to connect with the area is to connect with people who share your passions, people who share your interests. You know, one of the problems is that, you know, when people are new to the area, they tend to, you know, it's path of least resistance. You know, you talk to people across the street from you, sides of you, you know, neighbors on the other side, and you don't, you know, you have a kind of a small view. You have a small world. And, you know, a lot of folks, they come here, retire.
The HOA connection.
Exactly, yeah. And for many folks, it's, you know, it's just like playtime. Now, listen, I'm not saying don't enjoy retirement. I'm saying, yeah, definitely enjoy retirement. But for a lot of folks, it's just like recreating all day. And listen, if that's what you want to do, you know, power to you. You know, play pickleball. I love pickleball. You want to play pickleball twice a day? Awesome. You want to play pickleball 20 times a week? Do what you want to do. I don't care. I love pickleball. But, you know, there might be a little bit more to life than that. And so one of the things that we talk about, something I developed, I call it my core, C-O-R-E, core soul needs. And it talks about what we need in our lives that give us the most fulfillment. As a matter of fact, it's things that we need in our lives to be fulfilled. And I identify them as your identity, life purpose, peace, and love. You need to have a good sense of who you are. You have to have a reason to be living. It has to be well in your soul, and you have to do life with people that you have an important relationship with.
I love the identity one. You know, I feel like, you know, and I see this with my father. My dad was a retired colonel. And he, you know, his identity was he was a colonel, you know, and people addressed him as the colonel, and that was his life. And then retiring, he went into another job with another company that was part of the Defense Department, still kind of in that genre. But then finally retiring, he's just the colonel, you know, and he's trying to figure out what his identity is.
Well, it's actually, you know, when people retire, in his retirement, what he is he's not the colonel anymore. But I want to just focus on
that. He is the colonel.
Actually, he's not the colonel anymore. Let me explain that to you. So, you know, what is retirement? for a lot of folks, retirement is a cessation. You stop doing something. You stop working, and now you're in this new phase of life. Some people say, I'm retired. Well, that's code for I don't do what I used to do anymore. Yeah, so he's retired from being a colonel, which means I'm not a colonel anymore. So what are you? Well, I'm not that. And what a sort of an empty identity is that? Your identity now is what you're not anymore.
Well, the other thing that's kind of funny, Lynn, is that, you know, we think that working is like punishment. Working sucks, right?
Well, I don't know. I totally love my work, but I get
not
a lot.
Not you. I'm talking about in general.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. People, I can't wait till I retire, right? It's like, I can't wait till I can let this all go and retire. It's like, work's bad. Retirement doing absolutely nothing is good. And I think it's confused. I think really, unfortunately, you're going to have to let this job go one day, but you're going to find out that this job was what your purpose was. This is what you did. Now, listen, if you have a job you just hate, of course. But, you know, my dad didn't hate his job. My dad retired. I feel that. It's like, I can't wait till I can retire. But I don't think we realize what a gift it is that we work in the first place.
Yeah. And if you look at the idea of living the present, right? If you're living toward retirement, what are you doing? You're living in your future.
Not paying attention to the present.
Living in the future, right? And then you retire. Then you retire, and then sometimes, like, you're living in the past, right? Because it's like, I used to work. I used to be this big shot in my
big
company.
Time.
But, like, I'm not that anymore. So it's like I'm looking at living my past. So, like, when you're living, you know, previously, you're looking to the future. Now the future is here. Now you're living in the past. And for me, it's all about who do you want to be as a person, right? What is your identity? We have a resource called Maximizing Your Retirement. It's available on our dedicated financialservices.com.
Max Amazing?
Max Amazing.
Okay, not maximizing.
No, Max Amazing,
okay,
your
like
retirement.
That.
And because
clever.
Yeah, thanks. Because we want your retirement to be as amazing as you want it to be.
Okay.
Right? So we have a process to take people through. I'm actually in the process of writing a book on that. Hopefully that'll be out this summer. But the idea is to think about who you are. What is your identity? You take your identity, and with that, you kind of reflect on your life. You know, what was my life like? What were the stages of my life? Who are the people that connect with my life? And then you go through something I call the facets of life. You look at everything from your intellectual interests, your pursuits, your recreation, your social, your spiritual part of your life, your skills, your hobbies. You take a look at all that, and you strategically think about who are you? What is it that you're interested in? What do you want to pursue in this stage of life? Think about your calendar. What are you doing throughout your day? You know, there's certain things you have to do, but there's a lot of things you do that you don't have to do. I mean, let's face it. When you're retired, you can do whatever you want to do. If you want to just chill all day and, you know, hang out at the pool and, you know, hang with folks in a clubhouse, do it. I don't care. Do what you want to do. If you want to work toward a master's degree in something, knock yourself out. You want to do volunteering? You know, good for you. Whatever you want to do. But the whole idea is to think strategically about who you are, what you want to be, and think of how you spend your time gets you to that place. And at our dedicated financialservices.com website, you go to the resources section, you get a copy of the Maximizing Your Retirement workbook, and you work through it. And listen, anyone wants to reach out to me, yeah, you know, happy to help you. Just go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com, contact us, and I'd be happy to be a resource to whoever wants to talk a little bit about it.
Well, I can tell you, I love the idea of retiring, but I also think that I'll be the guy that basically works till the day he dies. Because I, you know, my buddy Matt used to say, find something you love to do and you'll never work another day in your life. And I have the best job. I own my own salon. I answer to nobody. Greatest job I could ever have, and I still dread going to work, right? And I think it's because I have to, right? It's because it's what I do. But the day I quit, I'll be sad, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's, for me, it's really just a mental state, you know, just finding, you know, just kind of working through a list, being like, you know, I'm really grateful I even have this job, trying to enjoy it, because I tend to put so much on my day off or retirement, like, oh, the day I retire, life's just going to get better. And I have to remind myself that I'm having a pretty good time right now.
Yeah.
It could be the curse, honestly. Yeah.
And if you think about life, you know, what is life? Life is just a continual series of events and connections, continual moments. And most of the moments in life are pretty mundane. Most of the moments in life are pretty much like 90% of the previous moments in our life, just routine stuff, right? And so if you're always looking for those mountaintop experiences, well, got some disappointing news for you. That's not going to happen. And if they were that way, it's like being like cracked out. I mean, just having a high. But, you know, maybe we should look at our lives that way right now. I mean, every moment is just a high point. Every moment is a high point of the moment. You know, not trying to be cliche, but, you know, goodness gracious. Looking outside, I don't see any bombs. I don't see, you know, I don't hear sirens. I don't have a word that someone's going to come and arrest me or shoot me for no reason.
Right.
You know, just, you know, I have a roof over my head. I got, you know, I have a car to drive wherever I want to go. Goodness gracious. I mean, I have three meals a day plus. I have water every day, and it's not the same water I go to the bathroom in, you know, most parts of the world. It's like, I mean, think about it. We're like off the charts blessed. You know, we're searching for those additional things that we really don't need and aren't going to fulfill us anyway. You know, yeah. So yeah, just making most of life, you know.
Well, the last few years we've realized how fragile we are, and it just kind of, it still feels fragile, and it continues to feel fragile. In fact, it continues to feel more fragile. It's like, it's crazy. So let's talk about your radio show. Because I know, you know, you're doing a radio show. In fact, we're going to do, I guess I get to be a guest on it.
That's awesome. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, so you sent me a bunch of questions. I'm like, shit, this is like professional. I have no questions. I sent you nothing. I felt a little inadequate this morning. But talk about that. What is that about? Yeah. What am I in for?
Well, we're just kind of a little conversation.
Okay.
So if we talk a little bit about Delaware Retiree, it's really short for the Delaware Retiree Connection. And again, it's trying to connect people who are retired to this area and with each other. That's what it's about.
You know, well, something weird happened, obviously, with COVID, is that we had a massive influx of people, right? But I'm not sure that they all, like, did a lot of research. You know, it was like, oh, COVID, why are we being hit by COVID? Because so many people live in the city, so let's everybody get out of the city. And then a lot of folks just ended up here, you know, in the business I'm in, the hair business. So the first thing you do is move, and then you got to find a dentist, a doctor, and a hair salon. And so what I'm hearing is a lot of people, yeah, they moved here, but not everyone is exactly thrilled about it. Like, almost had to do it. Taxes, you hit it on the head with the initial start of this conversation. Taxes are a big deal. You talk to 9 out of 10 people will tell you taxes are cheaper if they came from New York or New Jersey or Pennsylvania. Taxes are quite a bit cheaper. Big motivation for a lot of people to move here. But you move here and you realize what all that tax money gets you, right? Especially if you're from New York. How come we don't have buses, more transportation? I go, there's a bus. You know, we have it, but it isn't like New York or New Jersey. So now we're starting to see, I don't know if it's a hasty decision to move here. I'm not sure where else you would end up, but people are like, well, you know, I know several people that have moved here and are moving away, aren't a big fan.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's really funny. People move from, you know, things that they don't like, but they're also moving away from things that they do like, right?
Right.
And if you're living in a world, I want everything to be like it was back home, except pay less money.
Thank you.
I can't help you with that, because when you move to another area, that's the area you live. I'm sorry, you know, we're not going to have all these people redesign the area to be the way it was when you were back home. If you like it that much, where it was when you were back home, well, maybe you should move back home, you know.
Right.
Right. So it's all about connecting with the area, right? So that's really what Delaware Retiree is about. And, you know, you mentioned about why people move. too many people move because cost of living. That I'm not saying it's not important. It's very important, but it's not the most important thing. You know, when we counsel folks, advise folks about moving, the most important criterion about where to live is, drumroll. Proximity.
More drum.
Proximity to family. That's the number one criterion. You know, so you know, people move away from friends, family members, and it's usually the grandkids. It's usually the grandkids what drives us. And you know, you move away from the kids, the grandkids, and it's like we don't see the grandkids anymore. Well, yeah, because you moved like 4.5 hours away. And the kids got school every Monday through Friday. The weekends, they can't come because they got their weekend activities. And then summer, they want to take a break. They probably want to do fun stuff. And that might not include chilling with grandma and grandpa. Not to say they don't enjoy that, but there's more to it than that. So the most important criterion for most people is proximity to family.
Yeah.
The second most important criterion are quality of life decisions. So, you know, quality of life is very important. You know, that does include weather. And then down the list after that, you have financial considerations. So when people move here primarily for the finances, they're missing all these quality of life considerations that are more important than money. So you move here, you're saving less money, but this area doesn't have what I want. Well, dude, I mean, is that a surprise to you? Did you check it out? Did you do some research? You know, so when people use our Delaware retiree website, if they're not in the area, they can get a little bit of a better understanding of what Delaware is all about. And if they're in the area, hey, you know, connect to the area. There's all kinds of resources here that can make life as amazing as you want it to be.
When I moved here from San Diego, and San Diego was phenomenal. And I didn't like it here. I hated it, in fact. And, you know, we sort of were laughing about this earlier that, you know, people get complained about the changes, and they always want to point out, you know, especially developers building houses, they're ruining the area. Listen, I lived here in 94. This place was pretty boring. I mean, you think it's boring now? Pretty boring in 94. So we have seen some changes, but I think it's for the better. You know, we're starting to have more grocery stores, more houses, more infrastructure, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, this, you know, but I remember I did not like it. And, in fact, my father was like, listen, you know, we bought a house. He said, you rent it. If you still don't like it in a few years, we'll sell it. We create any equity. You can use that and towards something, whether you want to move back to New Mexico is where I had grown up, or back to California, whatever it is, you can take that money and maybe it'll give you a little bit of a foundation to get a good start. And I was like, sounds good. I was here for about 4 years, took a job over in Eastern Maryland, went there for 4 years, and just could not wait to get back here. Just didn't realize... You know, I didn't realize how good it was here until I was gone. Yeah. And it's that way for everywhere I go. You know, when I moved to San Diego, I hated it. Oh, I hate San Diego. Moved back to New Mexico. I miss San Diego. It's like, you know, went back to San Diego and loved it. It's, you know, I think a lot of people that come here, especially the ones that are complaining or unhappy with, especially if you, you know, I think of one lady in that comes to mind who was living in Brooklyn. Loved Brooklyn, New York. And, you know, she could walk everywhere. The bakery, you know, all these different places that were down in Brooklyn. I'm not even sure if they're all still there now, you know, after all this has finally settled out. But she comes here and she's like, she's got a lot of complaints. Yeah. You know, there's no bakery and no Italian restaurant and no this and that.
Yeah, but is that a surprise? I mean, you know, you're living in Brooklyn and, like, yeah, everything is within walking distance because there's, like, 2 million people that are within walking distance, right? So, yeah.
You know, but I wonder if she went back to Brooklyn now, if we drove her up there and dropped her off, she'd be like, oh, I miss Rehoboth.
Yeah, because people live in a world of my cup is 5% empty. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, no, dude, you're like really 95% filled.
But well, and I think it's also an opportunity for us to blame, right? Well, in Brooklyn, it wasn't this tough. Right. Or in San Diego, life wasn't this tough. But maybe it was. We just didn't really pay attention. It's just, I don't know, maybe we just hate being in the moment, in the present.
I don't know. I think not being in a moment is a good escape, right? But I don't know. I can't speak for anyone else right now. Just
later on, you can, but not right now.
Just now.
Well, I think I love our area. I'm super. Yeah. I mean, I've you know, 30 years, yeah. and I just wouldn't be anywhere else.
And that's why my wife and I moved here. We bought a house 4 years ago. We you're kind of going back and forth, and this is our. This
Did
is
you
our
go through that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you have to.
You have to, right?
If not, then you're not engaging in it, right? You got to look at the pros and the cons, right? I mean, because if you don't think of that strategically, one of these days it's going to hit you and say, oh, you know, the baseball team that I followed isn't here anymore, or my favorite restaurant isn't here anymore. Well, yeah, because that was over there, you know? So if you're not thinking about it in a strategic way, because again, it's not just about money, it's about quality of life, right? Quality of life, not quite as important as proximity of family, but quality of life, you need to redefine what those quality of life things are. So yeah, you know, maybe you're not as close to the skiing. You like to go skiing in the Poconos, great. There's no skiing here, but we got a beach. You know, we got hiking trails, we got biking trails, you know, we got all the different other resources they have in the area. And if you don't gravitate toward those, then maybe this is a pretty crappy place to live. But it's because you chose not to get connected with the area.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, if that's the reason for moving here, you're probably pretty happy. But if you moved here because of lower taxes, you're probably not happy.
Not if you're not filling the other voids in your life, right? Yeah. Because it's all about, again, doing the things you love with the people you love doing it with.
So the radio show, when's it on?
Well,
let's talk about it.
Yeah, it's Sundays 11 to 12, 105.9 WXDE.
WXDE.
That's the one. So we have an hour program, and I interview different guests. And the radio format, I think, is kind of cool. I start the radio program with my wife, and we just have a little discussion about whatever the topic is. So we had a guest on our program the other day, Old World Breads. We'll throw out a plug to Old World Breads. You mentioned a bakery. Tell the Brooklyn lady go to Old World Breads. They got like amazing food there.
By the Nassau Bridge.
That's the one, yeah. Keith Irwin, just a good guy and like really good food. So we were talking about, let's talk to my wife about just food, you know, what that means to us and the connectedness with food, you know, because when we eat, yeah, we need we have sustenance, right? But we eat as an expression of our social connectedness. And I actually mentioned this on the program when I was talking to my wife. One thing that I love about having a meal is that you really are present at that place. And I think that's why people love food, is what am I doing? I'm just like eating food, talking to you. Mm. You know, I'm just having whatever it is, just, you know, this delicious thing or whatever it is I'm eating. And, you know, I'm here, you know, and I think there's nothing more connecting than food. So we're just talking about that and her ethnicity, my ethnicity. My wife is Filipina. So, you know, she's talking about her ethnic foods and my ethnic foods and how when I eat that food, it reminds me of my upbringing, my mom who's not with us anymore. You know, so food is very, very connecting. And so that's when we start to program me and my wife. Then I talked to Keith about the bakery, all the different food products. We talk a little bit about the company or the organization, what they're about. And then we talk about connectedness about what they do, how they connect with the area, how they connect their services or their products or their company with what people need for this to be a wonderful place to live. So that's the model for the program. Then I have a summary discussion. I talk about, you know, what people need to do, take some action steps, you know, to make this place really a place of where they say, I love living here.
Mm-hmm. So it almost sounds like you're doing like a Rehoboth Social podcast, but on the radio. One small business helping another.
Yeah, that's a big part of what we do. And sure, yeah, we connect business owners to the area, and that's what Delaware Retiree is all about.
But is that the name? What's the name of the show?
The Delaware Retiree Connection.
Okay. So it's about, all right, that makes sense.
Yeah. And me as a financial guy, you know, I help people with their finances. But again, see, that's what people don't understand. Finances aren't about how much money I have and what was my return this year. Finances are how do I align my assets with the things that matter the most to me. How do I align them? You know, I want to channel my resources for my enjoyment. Okay, cool. I want to channel my resources to align with my value system. Okay, I want to channel my resources to maybe help charities or religious organizations or the causes I have an interest in. That's what it's about. You know, part of it also, I need money to meet my needs, but it isn't about just having money. It's about being connected with our money, with who we want to be in life. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, so if you want to spend all your days out on jet skis and boats, you know, you probably don't need a bigger house, right? Or if you want to spend your time having guests, you know, entertaining, having big parties, very social, maybe the bigger house, less jet skis. I mean, figuring out the path.
Yeah, and how does your money empower you to be who you want to be? See what I said? I didn't say, how does your money empower you to do the things you want? Well, that's part of it, but it all starts with who you are, right? So all the stuff we talk about starts with your identity. And that is such a critical missing link. You know, I think it was very popular years ago, what is your why? You know, what is your why? Your why determines everything. And I say it starts with your who. You know, who are you? And that's why identity is so important in retirement, because if you are looking at retirement as a definition of stopping working and not being that thing you've been for maybe the last 40 years, you're not that anymore, who are you? Well, that waits to be seen, because if you keep on living in the I'm not that job anymore, then you're going to be going through life kind of disconnected, trying to figure out who you are. So that's why we really try and focus on the identity as the first step in having a meaningful retirement.
Yeah, because you're going to potentially be disappointed with retirement.
Well, listen, if the core soul needs identity, life purpose, peace, and love. For many folks, work provides all of them. An identity, who am I? What do I do? Well, I'm the crane operator. I'm the colonel. I'm whatever. That's what I do. That's the value I serve to the company, to our customers, to our constituents. And my work gives me a sense of stability. I get a paycheck. I work in an environment that I feel very safe. I feel effective. And I do life with my coworkers in a way I enjoy. So for many folks, they're meeting their core soul needs through work. Work stops. That's it. That's no longer part of my life. I need a new identity. I need a new life purpose. I have to find peace from other sources. And I need to have another different social connectedness. Yeah. So if you're just blowing all that up because you retired and you haven't figured out how to get to that place of fulfillment in your core soul needs, retirement is going to pretty much suck.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I think that might be one of the things you have to help people start to recognize is because...
Well, go
a lot of miserable retirees out there.
Yeah, go to DelawareRetiree.com. You know, your glass is like 95% filled, you know, but you need some better connectedness. You know, we can help people do that. You know, some great resources on the website.
Do you do social media?
Yes, we do.
So you have an Instagram?
We do. I have to be honest with you, Tom. I am like...
What is up with these freaking old guys?
Two for two. I am like really, really bad with that. You know, this is what I say.
Why don't you have someone do it?
Well, I do. Actually, I do. So we do have that, but you're asking the wrong guy. You have to ask someone else in my company. This is what I say. If you were to align like all the people throughout the history of humanity, and you align them like the most technologically sound and at least technologically, you know. So on the left, you'd have people like Steve Jobs, and you'd have, you know, Bill Gates and all those guys. And on the right side, all at the end, you'd have Neanderthal Man, Lucy, and I'd be right between them. Yeah, so I was just like, that is like so not my gig. Like, it's like I was born like millennia too late, you know. So, but I have people who handle that also. We do all that, yeah.
I mean, I think it, you know, it's a great excuse not to do it. It's the unfortunate is that's how people learn, you know. And I, you know, it's like trying to teach someone how to put themselves out who was on fire when you're already on fire. It's like, how do we educate people about retirement early on? You know, so maybe the 30-year-olds, the 40-year-olds. I remember going to a financial class when I was probably 29, and the guys started talking about how to invest money and preparing for retirement. Yeah. I was clearly not ready to retire, but it definitely made me think. And, you know, and we struggle with it too here. You know, Instagram and social media, we hate it, bad, but it's where people learn and find out about stuff.
Well, I will say this. Part of our resources that we're building out is going to be looking at financial planning considerations in different stages of life. Most people do financial planning with the thought that they're planning for retirement. But once they retire, it's like, what do I do now? You know, so, you know, was there in a wealth accumulation mode? And they haven't really thought about how do they access their money. So there's a different type of planning for retirees. There's a different planning model for people who are making good income and planning for retirement. But the other part that's really missing is financial planning for young folks who don't have any basics. And there's financial literacy, I get that, but there's more to it than that. A lot of it is value-oriented views of finances, what money means to you. And maybe we'll have another podcast talking about how money and how people do money with saving it, spending it, investing it, and planning with it, how it ties to core soul needs, but not all that great. That's another whole conversation for another time.
What's something like a Dempsey right here? Who's how old are you, Dempsey?
26.
26 years old. I mean, Dempsey to me seems like the perfect person to start thinking about retirement. Because, the shit sneaks up on you. I'm still a 10-year-old guy driving a 53-year-old car. You know, I don't know when I became an old guy, but it happened pretty quick. You know, but what can, like, Dempsey start doing? A Roth IRA, something like that? Could he put $20, $30, $40 a week into something like that? Would that start helping? I mean, what's some suggestions for Dempsey?
I do have a 401k.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, through your work?
Yeah, yeah.
Those are a joke.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in some ways it's very simple. Of course, it gets complicated, but it's as simple as how much money you make and how much money you spend. That's a real simple starting point.
Well, I don't make a lot, but I also spend nothing.
There you go. So you're ahead of the game. You're ahead of the game, right?
Good start.
Yeah. So
it's when you make nothing and spend too much, that's when we're in trouble.
Yeah. And you know, and the fact is, we probably all spend too much, no matter how much we make, right? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, I'm not saying don't spend money. I'm just saying be thoughtful about how you're doing it. You know, like why are you, you know, going to Starbucks and having a cup of coffee every day?
Right.
You know, I'm not saying not to do it, but like, why are you doing this? Is it really getting that much value to you? Maybe you can't wait till you get to the office to get a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't make a cup of coffee at home.
Right.
I mean, do what you want. It's your money. But like, why are you doing that? You know, that's just a small little example.
One of the things I really notice and that I try to avoid personally, is as far as like using me as an example, like people, like friends, whatever that I've been around, like they'll get a promotion, they'll get more income, and then they don't live the same life. They take themselves right up to that new limit.
Right.
And I just, you know, it doesn't seem like something you should do. You know, like people need to live within their own means. Like you're saying, like what makes you happy, or like with the people and being in the present stuff. Where it's like, as soon as you give somebody an extra $10,000 a year, now they find a way to spend it when they were fine before.
Right. Yeah. Now, you know, give them an extra $10,000 and now they're figuring out, you know, how they can spend an extra 11.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes, and it's like, you know, the more you have, the more you want. It's a interesting condition of the human mindset, right?
Yeah, and you see almost everybody do it, and it's just one of the things I've observed.
Yeah. So, well, it's real life. It's real life, bro.
What about something like a Roth IRA? I remember as a guy, for me, who owns my own business. I mean, I was in, you know, Dempsey's is working at the golf course, and I was in the golf course industry for a while. Yeah, same one. That's
same
right.
Course, right.
Baywood. And I remember getting my 401k and meeting with the people and picking this
insurance plan.
Yeah, right.
Just
and
did that.
But now as a guy that owns my own business that doesn't have that, I actually was able to transfer that into something else and still have it. It's still basically doing nothing. But a friend of mine said, you should try a Roth IRA. You can actually put money into it. It's tax-free. It's a good way to save money. Do you suggest something like that? Do you have a suggestion for a guy like Dempsey who maybe isn't ready to commit a whole lot of money to his retirement, but would like to at least put something?
Yeah. So we're getting to some technical finance stuff. I want to stay away from that. But let me just say this. A Roth IRA isn't an investment. A Roth IRA is the tax treatment of an investment. So Roth IRA, you put after-tax money in, and you take money out tax-free. So you pay tax on the front end, not on the back end. When we do analysis of Roth IRA or traditional IRA, traditional IRA is opposite. You put tax, non-tax, pre-tax money in, and you pay taxes on the back end, right? So the question of Roth IRA or IRA isn't the investment. It's like when you want to pay taxes on the front end or the back end.
Right.
And what you want to do is you want to pay taxes when taxes are lower, at a lower tax bracket. That's the whole decision. So if you're in a low tax bracket now, you should put after-tax money in. If you're in a high tax bracket now, you should put pre-tax money in. And then once you decide IRA, Roth IRA, then you decide, well, how you want to invest it. Stocks, bonds, annuities, cash, real estate, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, then you decide the investment choice. But so some like you know, young like Dempsey should be like putting money in the stock market because that's the highest long-term return opportunity.
Yeah. So what that was great, actually great information. I did not know that. So why and the hope is when you pay the taxes on the back end, you're in a lower tax bracket?
Well, that's the hope, right? So when people retire, the idea is you know, making a lot of money, I'm working, I'm making a lot of money. I'm going to retire down the road. I'm not going to be making a lot of money, but it's not that I'm not making a lot of money. It's I'll be in a lower tax bracket. So I'll make up numbers, right? I'm in a 25% tax bracket now, and when I retire, I'll be in a 15% tax bracket. Well, let me not pay taxes at a 25% level now. Let me put money into this an IRA. I don't pay taxes on it. But when I retire and I'm in a 15% tax bracket, I'll take out money then. One of the problems is that the tax brackets are probably going to go up down the road, all things being equal.
Right.
So that's just going to screw up all the analysis there. But that's the concept. It's all about tax brackets. That's the whole discussion.
Well, I know for me, I think I wasn't making a lot of money early. I still don't really make a lot of money, but I wasn't making a lot of money early on. So investing in it or putting it away was the least thing on my mind. But I wish I had. I mean, even if it was just a little bit of money. I mean, you know, and that's I do think that's interesting, you know, whether a Roth IRA would be pre-tax and a regular IRA is after-tax. And I didn't know that. So just that was made this podcast pretty awesome.
Yeah. So,
Glenn, good job.
I'm going to go back and listen to that.
Yeah. Goodness, that's you know, there's a lot of stuff like that. So one of the things that we do, quite frankly, with folks who are retired, and this is for the retiree segment. What I ask folks is, you know, why did you put your money into an IRA? And we go through this whole discussion. You know, people say, because, you know, I don't want to pay taxes on it. I say, no, you're deferring taxes. Well, you know, I'll have less. No, it's all about I'll be in a lower tax bracket down the road. For people who have retired, newsflash, your tax train has arrived. It's here. You will never be in a lower tax bracket than you are now. Tax brackets are going to go back up in 2026. The tax cuts back in 2017, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act were temporary tax cuts. We're going to go back to the previous tax rates in 2026. So tax brackets are going to go up, and people are only going to have more money as maybe they didn't start taking Social Security. They will. They didn't take the required minimum distributions. They're not old enough that they have to take it out. They will. So people down the road are going to have higher tax brackets and more income, and they're going to be paying more taxes.
Right.
So you know, it's all about, again, where you are in your tax situation as part of the financial plan that we do.
Well, I love it. So introduce yourself, because I'm not going to try to say your last name.
Yeah. Len Hayduchok.
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 No big deal. Simple.
They're pretty simple to me. I'm kind of used to it.
I got a weird name, too, though. So.
I do, too. Nobody gets my name right. Len Hayduchok. So what's your website?
We actually have two websites. The one we were talking about is DelawareRetiree.com. That's the connecting retirees to the area, financial website is dedicatedfinancialservices.com.
And Instagram and social media is coming soon.
We haven't. I just don't know anything about that stuff. Sorry.
All right. Well, listen, man.
It's out there somewhere if you want to go look.
Yeah, and your radio show is on?
Oh, WXDE. 105.9, Sundays 11 to 12 nice. a.m.
Well, I appreciate it. It was great having you on.
Had a great time. Thanks.
So now you and I are going to do a show.
We are. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time.
Well, I should have had some questions for you. I apologize.
No, it's all good. It's all good stuff.
I didn't realize. I guess, you know, I didn't realize you had so many facets. And I think, you know, we'll get you more next time. Awesome. Appreciate it. All right, buddy. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Lynn.